Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome Kate Shattuck, who's a medical intuitive. She says, should your cat's allergies send you to the doctor, she's likely to make that recommendation. Kate supports animals' well-being and owners' peace of mind as a medical intuitive. Because animals, especially cats, are masters at hiding what is going on inside them, we don't always know there is an issue until it becomes acute. Owners might recognize something isn't right with their animal, yet not be able to understand they know that. Kate's training and experience allow her to connect to the animal's body, mind, heart, and spirit to identify and adjust what the animal needs for optimal well-being. Understanding our animal's unique needs for optimal health gives us the tools to keep them active and alert longer. Allergies, arthritis, and aggressive behavior appear to be things we and our animals simply learn to live with. Kate knows those symptoms probably hide underlying imbalances that can be cleared. She routinely surprises people by identifying the root cause of their animal's distress as a similar issue the person is experiencing. Blending her early scientific and theoretical training with alternative healing modalities, Kate can discern information about animals' health and well-being to advise and support both the animals and their people. A decade of experience with thousands of domestic and exotic animals worldwide has added to that skill set. Kate's admiration of animals' dignity and an appreciation of their joyous nature make sessions with her informative and fun. And just to let the callers on the line know, Kate will do readings for you tonight. We're going to do a lot of dialogue, so hang in there. I will get to you in the order that you called. And so far, I'll get to the people that have called in, and we'll play it by ear from there. So, Kate, once again, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So how long have you been doing this? That's my first question.
I have been communicating with animals before I started communicating with people. Because animals communicate telepathically, and so as a very, very small child, I could do that. 11 years ago, I got my first glimmer of being able to do the medical intuitive work. And so I started the training 11 years ago, and I have been doing it nonstop for the past 10 years.
Tell me exactly what's involved with being a medical intuitive.
It, to me, is the most fun job in the world. Because as a medical intuitive, I am connecting to an animal in a way that goes much beyond talking to them. I'm literally wandering around inside their body. I'm looking at their liver. Is it hot? Is it stagnant? I'm looking at their lungs. Are they inflamed? Are they okay? And I also ask animals, let me see through your eyes. This is very helpful when an animal is lost because they can show me where they are. It's also a very quick way of being able to tell what an animal's vision is. Because as animals get older, like some humans, their vision can get cloudy. And to be able to see through their eyes and say, oh, no, you're fine, that is a wonderful tool. Along with the training, I also am clairsentient. So I feel what the animal feels. So if I know, once I connect into an animal, I can start saying, whoa, what's going on with the spine? Because they will allow me to feel what is going on in their body.
Fascinating. Well, I certainly have come across clairsentients that deal with humans, and I have had some pet psychics on before, and I've never asked if they're clairsentient, but I would imagine probably that's the case. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? Your bio was such an interesting story. I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about your early years and what went on back then.
Well, I started out pretty mainstream. Started out as a very small child. I used to rescue worms from the rainstorms, which annoyed my family because we always had to stop and rescue the worms. So my affinity for animals has been evident from the time I was very small. But when I got into college, I realized there wasn't a great job market for worm rescue. So not in a lot of demand. I became an accountant, and then after a few years of being an accountant, I went back to school and got my master's degree in engineering. So I spent several decades in the high-tech world, predominantly in those two fields. Sometimes I was fully accounting, sometimes I was fully engineering, and a lot of the time I was doing the two together, costing, cost analysis, et cetera. In 1983, my life took a major turn. I was trying to rescue a dying cat, and I was bitten. The cat then died. Within 24 hours, I was diagnosed with bubonic plague.
My God.
I thought bubonic plague died with the Old Testament.
Same here.
I was quite surprised that no, it hadn't. And so I was quarantined for 10 days. I was told to stay away from people for 10 days, which 10 days of freedom was pretty nice to me. I spent the 10 days planting tulip bulbs and daffodil bulbs in my garden, not knowing that was a very bad decision. I ended up contacting a very rare and very fatal disease called MAC for short. It's a form of mycobacterium. It's a particular kind of mycobacterium. Basically, it's animal tuberculosis.
Mm.
And is very fatal. Most people are dead within 18 to 24 months. So I had a choice. I could obligingly fall into the statistics, or I could figure out a way to survive and to thrive with this disease. It is not a curable disease. It is, at best, it goes dormant, and we're happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that temporary detour, was interesting. I had a lot of people tell me, oh, I guess this means you'll never be around cats again. And my orientation went the other direction. My orientation was, okay, if a cat did this, there must be a reason that it was a cat, not a dog, not a frog. There must be something to this. I did stay in the corporate world for several more years after that, not in great health as I was learning how to survive. Got better and better, you know, over the years, which was wonderful, and kept studying alternatives. In the course of studying the alternatives, my own animals, which included cats, benefited from what I was learning. So the changes in the diet, the changes in supplements, the changes in lifestyle, the cats benefited as well as I did. When I retired from the corporate world, which was a little early, I retired a little early simply because this other world was calling my name, and it was calling quite loudly. When I left the corporate world, I knew I needed to do something with animals. That was very clear. I worked with a phenomenal business coach, and I listened to my own intuition and let it gel for a while. And out of that came my business, Radiant Animals. And yes, I work with animals across the spectrum. As I tell people, I work with giraffes down to gerbils. But my specialty really is cats. I have always loved them, and I think they need a better press agent than they have currently.
Mm. Well, tell us what you do within your business and how people can get in touch with you.
The easiest way to get in touch with me is to go to my website, which is www.radiantanimals.com. There is a contact form on there. People can send me a note, and I will call them and say, okay, let's talk. What do you need? And get it set up from there. When I'm working with the animals, more often than not, people like to be on the phone with me because they want to be able to ask questions as we go along. And I have a 22-point health survey that the animals and I work with together. And what's really fun about my training and what the animals have taught me as well is I'm talking to animals on three levels simultaneously. So I'm talking like you and I are talking. I'm also working with their autonomic control system. And it's interesting, my engineering background has really been supportive of this because I'm working with them sort of like I would be defragging a computer. I'm saying, okay, what part of the body is working, what part of the body isn't working, what do we need to clear, how do we need to clear it, that sort of thing. And then when it's really, really, really an important question, such as, are you ready to leave? I do not take that question lightly. So when I'm asking those kinds of questions, then I'm also working with their higher self. And that has been a gift for clients when they're, I think my dog wants to go, I think my cat's trying to leave, I don't know for sure. And we all struggle with it. I struggle with it with my own animals because we love them. They're part of our lives. We don't want to say goodbye. And they just simply don't last long enough compared to how long most of us last. So it's very supportive for the animal and for their people to be able to say, yes, they're done. And I have worked with clients when we get to that stage, and they'll say, well, I can have the vet here in 3 days, and the animals say no today. Or the animals say 3 days is fine. Invite my friends. Let them all say goodbye to me. And I have had clients have going away parties for their animals in that 3 days because they know that the animal is done, and so all their favorite people get invited, and they all say goodbye, and it's a beautiful thing, beautiful to be able to do that for your animals.
Sure, it sounds that way. Do you work with animals that have passed, too?
Yes, I do. That gets a little interesting because animals have the right to not talk to me. They have the right to, again, I am highly respect their dignity. They have the right to say no. And in the thousands of animals I've worked with, I have had a couple animals say, no, I am not going to talk to you. Or I've had animals say, I'm not going to talk to you right now. And then I have to come back maybe the next day, sometimes 2 or 3 days before they say, okay, now I'll talk to you. For whatever reason, sometimes they have their own agenda, they got things going on, they don't want to be bothered. But I do work with animals who have passed, and it's so funny, it's so wonderful. A lot of us, we can feel our animals. You know, laying on the bed, taking a nap, and you feel something jump on the bed and there's nothing there. It's the cat. It's the dog. They're coming to be with you, which is marvelous for those of us who have lost our beloved animals. So, yes, I do work with the animals who've passed. Again, it's their right whether or not they choose to communicate.
Well, before we began the show, we were talking a little bit, and one of the things that you pointed out to me was that it's not us that picks the animals, right?
Absolutely. If we force an animal into our lives, if we say it's got to be this animal and it cannot be any other animal, and we bring them into our home, if the animal agrees, everything is fine. If the animal says, no, you're not the person I belong with, the animal will find a way to leave. They will run away, they will get lost, that sort of thing. So animals, I've learned over the years, and I work with my clients on this as well, okay, I want a cat. Great. Find a cat, or if there's a particular breed you like better than other breeds, or if you like alley cats, whatever, put yourself in a position such as at the animal rescue. Put yourself in a position where you're sitting on the floor and there's 5, 6, 7, 8 animals strolling around. Your animal will come get you. They will be the one that climbs up on top of you and falls asleep. So they are very clear about your mind, your mind. We like to assume that they are ours. No. We are theirs. Very common. And I've had people who, I'm never having another dog. I'm never going to have another dog. I can't stand losing a dog. It's so emotionally traumatic. And I understand that belief system. And yet, sometime later, a dog appears in their life. They weren't looking for a dog. They didn't plan on a dog, and now they have a dog. It's like, why? Because now you're ready, and the dog is there for you.
Well, you say that animals pick us. Let's talk about reincarnation, which is something else we discussed beforehand.
Right.
You believe that our pets can come back to us, and if so, why do they do that?
They come back to support. That is the number one reason animals come into our life in the first place. Yes, the companionship is wonderful, and they're very, very good at companionship. But they also are phenomenally supportive of us. That, you know, we know about service dogs, we know about therapy dogs, and there are therapy cats, by the way, that they've had the extra training so that they can help with autism, diabetes, etc. Most of us don't realize that all animals are here to support us. And they support in multiple ways. They support by simply being a placeholder for the love. Because in our current society, we are more disconnected from one another than we've ever been in history. You see it when you go to a restaurant, that there's tables full of people and they're all on their phone instead of talking to one another. We are so incredibly disconnected. And animals help us reconnect. They help us reconnect into our physical place. They help us reconnect to our heart. And they also help us reconnect to one another. You meet more of your neighbors when you've got a dog at the end of the leash than you do walking by yourself. Because people feel safe and comfortable speaking to the dog, they might not speak to you if you didn't have the dog. A lot of us who have dogs have learned that, have had that experience. So that's the thing that that's the support. The other thing that animals do that a lot of people, we know it, but we don't know it, if that makes sense. We are all familiar with the term, the canary in the coal mine, and the miners had the canaries in the mines with them because if the toxins got bad enough in the mine, the canary quit singing, it was a sign that everybody had to get out so that they were safe. Animals do exactly the same thing. The dogs, the cats, the gerbils in our homes do exactly the same thing. They let us know when something's off kilter. For those of us who've lived with boss dogs or boss cats, it's very apparent because the boss animals, and not all cats, not all dogs are boss animals, but the boss dog or boss cat will wake you up in the morning. You don't need to set an alarm. They'll also start fussing at you when it gets close to bedtime. They don't need anything other than to tell you it's time to wrap up and head to bed. That's one of the things the boss animals do. Another thing boss animals do, and I've seen this happen a couple times, you know, there's so many different kinds of mold. There's over 2,000 different strains of mold, and not all of them have a smell that we can recognize, that we humans are sensitive enough we can recognize. We're just sick. We just don't feel good. But we don't know why. And we go to the doctor and they can't find something, and we go to another doctor and they can't find something. We will also see our animals getting sick. And someone like me, someone with my background, I'd be in working with the animals going, wait a minute, there's a major mold problem. What's going on? And people are like, oh my gosh, that might be why I don't feel good. So that's another one of the things that animals do is they'll take on. They'll be an early warning system for what's going on in our house. They'll also take on. They'll take on our stress. Not too long ago, I went through a very stressful time period, and I had to tell my dogs every single day, do not take on anything from me. Your job is to keep me laughing. That's all I want you to do is just keep me laughing. So they didn't take on any of the stuff I was dealing with, which I didn't want them to. I didn't want to worry about their health. I wanted them to keep me laughing, and they did it, and they did it very well. That's the kind of thing that animals, you know, they'll try and take on our stress. I've talked to a lot of veterinarians over the years because I always said, well, what about? And one of the things that veterinarians universally have said, and it's exactly what I find in my own practice, the majority of pet parents take better care of their pets than they do of themselves.
Mm.
We may eat the junk food, but we won't feed the junk food to the dog. We may go out and smoke the cigarette, but we won't smoke the cigarette in front of the cat. I find that so interesting that when we finally recognize that we're together, we're a unit, let's take as good a care of ourselves as we take of our animals. And I know when I was in the corporate world, that was a conversation when people would work very, very, very hard and forget to rest and forget to hydrate and forget to exercise, and then they would be sick. And I remember a lot of people asking, would you treat a racehorse this way? And the answer is, of course you wouldn't. We wouldn't even treat our dog or our cat that way, but yet we treat our own body that way.
Mm, good point. Well, why don't we take a couple of calls, and then we can come back and talk some more. And if there's time, I've got a question for you about one of my pets. And so are you ready to go to the phone lines?
I'm ready.
Okay. Our first caller is Wendy, and Wendy, you're live on the air with Kate.
Hi, David. Thank you, and hello, Kate.
Hi, Wendy. How can I help
Hi.
You?
Well, I have a question about my brother's cat and then a question about me, if I may. My beloved brother, David, passed tragically March 2nd of last year. He had a cat that he absolutely loved. He named him Joe. And David was a medical transcriptionist, and this cat was in the – eventually he worked at home for a different company, But this cat apparently walked into this building, and the people there put out cat food and milk, and apparently the cat befriended David. And the cat passed a couple years ago, I found out. Are Joe and David together in heaven, I hope?
It's interesting because as soon as you said the name Joe, he came through, which is odd. They don't usually come through that fast, but he's very, very vocal. And Joe is saying that he was waiting for David to find him at the building. He was, they pick us. And so, okay, Joe, speaking of boss cats, Joe had to get things ready for David. So Joe went before David. And yes, they are absolutely together.
I'm sure that David was overjoyed when he reunited with his pal Joe.
Yes. Well, Joe was excited that David finally got there.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Joe was delighted that David finally got there.
Oh, yes. David really loved Joe. And if I may, my question is, what do you see for, are you a medical intuitive as well, did you say?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I had a medical emergency with my ring finger on my right hand last year, and three doctors said amputation, three doctors said cancer. I knew they were wrong. My precious parents in heaven were telling me, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I did not have cancer, thank God. I do not have cancer, hopefully never will. And they removed the growth, and they did a augmentation of my ring finger. They reconstructed it at the end. It looks different, but thank God I've got my finger. The last three fingers are kind of bending down because my hand was in bandages for such a long time, several months. So do you see my finger straightening out, I hope?
It's interesting you're asking that question, Wendy, of me. In 1985, I had the first finger of my left hand amputated. And I was in a cast for 29 weeks.
Yeah.
So I totally sympathize and totally understand, A, how painful that is, and B, what a ripping hassle it is. One of the things that is interesting, I don't know how much physical therapy you had, but what I got very quickly was you need some more physical therapy to help strengthen
yes.
that hand. Because the strength of your grip is actually your outer fingers. The little finger and the ring finger are the strengths. So like to turn a key and a lock, to take the lid off a jar, those are the fingers that have the bulk of the strength in the hand. And so you just need some more physical therapy to help strengthen the muscles in that, and so that it all wants to play together. The other thing is to remind your finger that is now part of you. Because as they did that augmentation and that change, that part of your finger's like, I don't know who I belong to. So that's, this time of year, most of us are having to use hand lotion because it's cold and it's dry. So as you're massaging in the hand lotion, give that part of your hand a little extra TLC and a little extra time, and aren't you beautiful? I'm so glad you're here. That sort of thing.
Oh, I do. And they took an arterial skin graft in my upper arm and put it on the end of my finger. It looks different, but I'm overwhelmingly thankful.
Oh, absolutely.
That I stood up to these doctors who were really pushing me.
Uh-huh.
What's the matter with you? Why not get it over with? And I quietly said no, and I had a knowingness. I know my beloved parents in heaven were telling me, don't do it.
Well, and thank goodness you listened, because this is the thing sometimes we forget. Once something is gone, it doesn't grow back for us yet. It is possible for it to grow back, but our belief system hasn't gotten to that point where we can manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank
you. Well, I think it's
smart enough to say no.
I think it's the joints that are the issue in those last three fingers, especially the baby finger now.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing is there's just some stagnation. There's some stagnation in the joints themselves. They just need to be cleaned out. And some physical therapy, which I have huge respect for physical therapists, even though they're the Marquis de Sade. But just get some physical therapy in there to help break up those congestions.
Yes, and God bless you. I hope you're healed, and I'm sorry about your hand, and I appreciate you spending time with me. Thank you.
Very welcome, Wendy. Most manicurists, when I have my nails done, they don't even notice. The surgeon, I had a total of 12 operations. The surgeon did a fabulous job.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well,
Wendy, thank you for...
Thank
so David,
you.
Go ahead.
If Joe could tell David that I love him dearly forever, and I hope I was a good sister and still am.
Your brother knows it. He says, I know. And he's giving you a hug. I can see him standing behind you giving you a hug.
Aww.
Okay, that's wonderful. Means
that's
a lot
beautiful.
To me. Well, God bless you, and I thank you. And I know Dave, I know our host has a very important question to ask, too.
Well, that can wait till the other callers, but thank you very much, Wendy, for your concern. And I wish you well, and God bless.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. God bless.
Okay. Thank you. Good night, hon.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that was very interesting, Kate. Our next caller is Ellen. And Ellen, you are live.
Thank you. Hi, David. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Thank you. And I hope to be able to use your talents as a pet psychic or cat reader. I have two foster cats with me, and you can decide who you want to read, the male one or the female one.
Male came through immediately.
Okay, his name is Tom Tom. What can you tell me about him? He's been with me like about 13 months at this point.
Okay, that is open-ended, and that's about a two-hour session. So why don't you ask
okay.
me specifically what you'd like to know?
Okay, first of all, is he happy? Is he growing more, is he growing happier here? Because he wasn't that happy when he started.
He's happier, but he's still not feeling like this is home. He's still feeling like this is a really nice hotel. And
Ooh.
He wants to know when he's going to be not in a hotel, when he's going to be someplace. He's still a little, not quite anchored yet.
So am I the problem? He thinks like I'm not the right person for him, or does he feel that I am treating him that way? I mean, what is the solution, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
This reminds me of a dog I worked with a couple years ago. He didn't feel like the third home he ended up in, he didn't know it was his forever home, and his family made up a song for him, and they kind of like a lullaby to tuck him in at night. To the point where the pet sitter had to be taught the lullaby so the dog could be sung to sleep every night, which is, I find hysterical, but wonderful. And Tom Tom kind of needs that sort of thing. He needs the reminder. He needs the assurance. This is it. He's here. This is home. Now, if you are in the definition of fostering I grew up with is where you're taking care of him and socializing so he can go to a final home, then you need to communicate that with him as well, that no matter what, he's taken care of. Because he's still just a little, am I going to have to go fend for myself?
No, I will take care of him no matter what. But to be frank, these cats turn into longtime fosters because nobody adopts 15-year-old cats, and that's what he is, a 15-year-old cat. And you know, I like orange tomcats. I'm very happy if he stays, but I guess that's, I'm sorry.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, leave the opening for him to say, I love you. I will keep you as long as you wish to stay with me. And mm-hmm. If there's someone who needs you, help me find them.
Okay, that part I've never said to him. I will say that part, that end.
I try okay. that. Because that way he has independence. He has a vote. And he may say, nah, this is fine. Or he may say, you know, I've been trying to get the person three doors down. I'm trying out. They need me. So just let him help direct it, because he will.
Okay. I was afraid that I might, make him regress if I started introducing him to people who might be potential adopters.
Not at all, because he just showed me himself. I love the visuals animals give me. He just showed himself with a cane and a top hat.
Oh.
And he's, you know, in his mind, he's kind of the Cary Grant of cats and, you know, my public awaits kind of scenario. So, you know, introduce with no pressure. That if they're okay. the right fit, he can go to them, and if they're not the right fit, that's fine. He's home.
Okay. Well, he must be delusional with that top hat and cane. But anyway,
okay. Like I said, they just give me these great pictures. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for your help. It gives me some idea of what to do with Tom to make him happy in his life. Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for
Good
calling,
night.
Ellen. Good
Thank
night.
You.
You're welcome. Well, we do have a couple of other callers. I haven't talked to them up front, but let's see who they are. I am connecting with area code 604. What is your name, please?
Hello. My name's Helen.
Hi, Helen. How are
Hello.
You?
All right.
Hi. Good.
How
Say
are
hello
you?
To Kate. Good. Thank
hello,
you.
Kate.
Hi, Helen. How
I
can I help?
I wanted to ask about my cat, Samuel.
Is Samuel still here?
Yes, he's right beside me.
Okay, so what do you need to ask about Samuel?
I was just wondering how he was doing.
That's why I asked if he was still here, because Samuel's got a very different energy.
Yeah, he kind of, like, when I wanted him, I was sitting in the cafe and I always wanted a cat. And none of them I saw, I was connected to, and I felt his energy pulling at that time to be in that pet store. And I took him, and if he's sleeping outside, I can feel him next to me and all sorts of things.
That's because I'm used to that energy when an animal doesn't have to worry about a body. And that's why I was asking, because the second I connected with him, his energy is more, it's interesting. When animals leave their body, their energy on one hand gets lighter, and on the other hand it gets deeper, richer, I suppose is a better phrase. And that's how Samuel is now. He's got that, it's like the difference between a broth that you just put on the stove and a broth that has simmered for 8 hours. You know, the broth that simmered is that... Go ahead.
He's definitely, you know, has that quality about him.
Yes, he does. You can feel it as soon as you... I can feel it as soon as I connect to him. He is a lovely, rich, deep broth, which I know sounds odd, but that's my frame of reference, so that's what we're using. Okay, so what would you like to know about Samuel?
Just anything that you could tell me about him, you know, health wise.
Okay, this is interesting.
He just turned 9. He was born in 2007.
Okay, one of the things that is really, as David mentioned earlier, when I work with animals, quite often they'll tell me something about their people. Now, one of the things that, you know, I have people say, oh, I can't work with you because my animals will tell you I don't make my bed in the morning. No, they never tell me stuff like that. Animals are incredibly loyal. Animals will not tattle on their family. Now, they will tattle on a boyfriend, a girlfriend, your kid's boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, they'll tattle on them with no problem. But their family, they don't tattle on. They will not do that unless they're concerned. about their people. And then they'll tell me, please tell my pet parent X, Y, or Z.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's interesting. So let me just have a second with Samuel. I've asked this three different ways, and I'm getting the same answer each way. He would like you to take better care of you.
Oh, I know that.
He's being very clear about that. And, you know, it's funny because I'm saying, I just told her that people don't, you know, that you guys don't tattle. And he says, no, she's not taking care of herself. What he's showing me is almost like you personally have a gas gauge. Your body has a gas gauge. And he's showing me your gas gauge is less than 50%. So your energy level, your stamina level is not where it needs to be. And he would like to see you fix that. So you, I don't know what your orientation towards supplements, towards yoga, towards any of that stuff might be, but it would be...
Oh, yeah, I've done it all.
Well, it's probably a good idea to kind of go back and take a relook at some of those things, because
I'm on it all the time.
You're not refueling yourself to compensate for how much you're putting out into the world. And
I'm going through a difficult time, a breakup.
Yep. And so, okay, well, that makes sense. He's saying that you're just getting too...
And he really loves the person that I was with.
But his loyalty
Hello?
Is to you. His loyalty is to you.
Oh, is that right?
Samuel's loyal.
Is there a connection? I always wondered, like, why him? Because I'd see other cats, but they'd prance around, and he's very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered, is there with us, or was it
with
my partner?
Well, let's ask.
Pardon?
I'm going to ask him. Okay. He has been with you one other time, he says, but it was not in this lifetime, it was in a prior lifetime.
Okay,
so
I knew there was a connection, Right.
He came back in to support you again.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Like I knew we were connected, but I didn't know why. Can I ask you another question?
David, you're the timekeeper. Well, David didn't say no, so okay.
Yeah, I had you muted. One more question is good.
Oh, okay. Okay, so one of the things that when I got him, he was only 5 weeks old, but I wondered, like, it was just like I had trouble getting used to his energy, and I didn't know what he had gone through in those 5 weeks. And I wondered about that, and I still wonder that yesterday. I was like, what did he go through in those 5 weeks that he is the way he is? Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm asking him.
Okay.
I'm having him show me. It wasn't traumatic. He wasn't abused. He wasn't beaten, any of that stuff, which is good. But his mama knew his energy was different, and his mama sent him on his way early. There were littermates that the mama took care of and kept his kittens longer. But, you know, there's some people, you've met them, that are born 40 years old. They're old souls. That really
mm-hmm.
probably is the best definition of what Samuel is. He is an old soul. That's why the broth is rich. And the mama cat knew that the energy was different, and the mama cat sent him on his way.
Well, I'm wondering if he was born black because he has a domestic long hair. And I thought, well, maybe they just spoofed him out, or he was from kind of like a farm thing, or he was the only cat. But I didn't know he had siblings because he doesn't like to be close, so I thought he didn't.
No, he had siblings. He had siblings. He had three. There were four kittens in the litter.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
But it was his energy, not his color. It was his energy.
Okay. He's beautiful. Thank you for helping me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Helen. Best wishes to you and Samuel.
Thanks. Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Yeah, sorry to cut you off there. Well, we just lost our other caller, so I want to ask you a question, Kate, if I may.
Great, David.
I have another little dog, not the one I was telling you about, and her name is Remy. And I'm calling on you as a medical intuitive to look into the situation. The vet says she has elevated liver enzymes, and she hasn't expressed much concern about that, but I'm just concerned, and I have no idea what that might mean. She's sleeping
okay,
right.
Well,
yep.
So what I need you to do is just soft focus on Remy is her name?
Remy, yep.
Okay, just soft focus on her for a second, and I can connect to her really well through you. Well, hello. Okay, so the first thing I ask them is, you know, on a scale of 100 to 0, how do you feel? What do you think the world is like? And that is something the animals taught me, because it really doesn't matter what the textbook says. It matters what the animal believes. And all numbers that are over 90 are awesome. Numbers below 90 cause me concern. And her self-assessment of well-being, how she thinks she's doing, is 91. So she's in the 90s. That's awesome. So now let's go on further.
Good.
Let me feel it. Thank you, Nat.
Huh?
Yeah, the liver is a little iffy. I would, not iffy in a bad, it is kind of bad. It's 87. So again, you know, the things we want in animals, and they actually are the ones who taught me this scale. Because when I went through the training, the human scale is a different scale than the animal scale. Because when I started doing this with animals, they laughed at me. And then I said, okay, what scale do you want me to use? So 100 to 0 is the, for the things we want to have, we want them to be 100 to 0. And her liver is 87, so she's a little off. She's a little, you know, not where I would prefer her to be. We're not going to panic. 87 is close enough to 90. It's like, yeah, it's a concern. So let's see what we actually have got going on. If it's too hot, too cold, too congested, what I'm seeing is congestion. And, of course, elevated liver enzymes means that she's not flushing them out the way that she ought to. They're not pushing through as well as clean. It's like a stream has got some silt in it, so the water isn't going through as quick as it ought to. That's kind of what the liver is doing. Cause, you know, the liver's got all these lovely little nodes that all have to flush out. Now, one of the things that a lot of people may or may not know, if you know your anatomy, is what's the gallbladder and the pancreas doing in comparison. So let me check those real quick. Okay, gallbladder's 96.
Oh.
Pancreas is 95, which is very good
news.
And what that tells me is I would look at the three of them together, because if those numbers were in the 80s, I would say this is a chronic issue. This is a long-term issue. Something needs to be done. The fact that they're still in the 90s says whatever's going on is not that – it's not causing that much harm. It's not causing that much impact. It is not – flushing the way it ought to flush. That is an issue. And it is something I do know how to help, and I do know how to clean up the debris. So, you know, that's something that I can certainly do. And if we have got 4 minutes, I could probably do and see what we can change for her right now. Would that be helpful to you?
Sure.
Oh, wow, she's going to sleep. She is going to sleep good.
That's one of her specialties.
Okay, Silver. Okay. So I was just checking with her higher self, my higher self. They were having a confab about, okay, what do we do next? And so what I got was how to go help clean the debris out and help move things. So we're going to be putting a lot of energy specifically through her liver. We're not going to be putting it anywhere else. And the cool thing about doing it the way I have been trained to do it is I'm not pushing the problem downstream. I'm not just cleaning up her liver and causing a problem someplace else. We're actually going in and we're cleaning up her liver and we're encapsulating the energy that caused the issue and transforming the energy out of her body so that we're just not making we're not just rearranging. As somebody said to me, we're not rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. So it's like, okay. And it's always a good thing when an animal yawns me. I keep telling
when
you.
When an animal does what?
When they yawn me, when they make me yawn.
Because oh, okay.
When they yawn me, and I had to ask for the sign, because there's multiple ways they can tell you that they're receiving what you do, and yawning was the least disruptive and the most socially acceptable. There's way other ways, but yawning works. And she was yawning me as soon as I started working on this, which is great. That means she's opening up and letting me do my work. Oh, that was quick. So let's see what she says now. Just for conversation. She's like, just a minute. And then she had to make me burp. Like, okay. Oh, yeah, that's much nicer. Oh, wow. Okay. So what she's telling me now is that her self-assessment of well-being, how she feels about how the world is treating her and how she's coping with the world, she's up to 97. She was 91 originally. And then in terms of the liver itself, remember it was 87 and congested, and I just rechecked the liver, and it's 98. It has cooled down because the congestion, it was trying to push something through, and it was getting warm. That's what I could feel when I connected in. It's like, why is my liver so warm? Well, it wasn't mine. It was hers. And so the liver is cooling down a bit, and it's flowing better.
Oh, great. Well, I'm curious. Go ahead.
That's how I work with animals.
What kind of interaction do you have with vets?
I have some veterinarians who send people to me.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
Especially the question of, is Fluffy or Fido ready to go?
Okay.
You know, so I definitely have veterinarians send people to me because it is so helpful to the owners to know I've done everything. And especially if it's a case of like Wendy, the question about her finger. If the veterinarian says, oh, they have to have surgery, it's helpful if the animal and I can have a conversation and the animal says, I don't want to do that. Don't put me through that. That is very helpful for the owner to know. It's you're wasting your time and you're basically abusing your animal. And yet, on the other hand, it says, yeah, it's a minor thing. Let's just go ahead and do it. So I have some vets refer me. I have some vets who think I'm nuts. And I have a lot of vets because when I work with animals, I have a form that I fill out and it's got all these numbers on it. And notes about, you know, this is what the animal said, this is what's going on, this is what you need to change, this is how you need to change the food, change their bedding, whatever. Whatever instructions come up all gets documented on this piece of paper. And the person gets a copy of that. I scan it and send it to them. And I have clients hang on to those pieces of paper, especially if they have an animal, a dog that's 7 or 8 years old, that's probably going to live 5 to 7 more years. They like being able to see the progression of how things are stabilized or not stabilized. And I have a lot of vets that are familiar with my work, and when the clients come in, they say, well, where's your paperwork? And I'm like, what do you mean my paperwork? And I said, well, have you talked to Kate? Where's your paperwork? And so it also very helpful for the vets to be able to see the progression, because I keep the stuff I check is slightly different than the stuff veterinarians check. I have huge respect for veterinarians, and I have several that are good friends. So actually my college roommate is a veterinarian as well. And they are very, it's just like the AMA. The AMA is phenomenal at certain things. And there's other things, not so much. The same with the vet world. There are some things they are absolutely a godsend. One of the things that is a challenge with Western medicine, whether people or animals, is they can't pick up the subtle energies. Things have to get fairly acute before they figure out what's really going on. And it's simply because their tools and their training are geared towards when things become more overt. And the subtle energies, it's a whole lot easier to fix something and to adjust something when it's still at the subtle energy level than when it becomes a much bigger problem.
Mm.
And so that's why vets, the vets who are familiar with me, they like seeing the paperwork.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I have some clients that I have worked with their animals for the whole 10 years I've been doing this, and I have a couple families where I work with 3 and 4 generations of the family. I work with their animals all over the world, and it's really been helpful, especially the people that are strong all over the world, that as they move around and their animals interact with each other intermittently, they're all dogs, we have made the dogs one pack. So they may not see each other for 3 years, but when they see each other, oh, yeah, it's you. Hi, George. Hi, Fred. Now, that kind of thing, as opposed to, oh, my goodness, who is invading my territory? That sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun, and it's interesting because in the case of this one particular family, something was going on with the daughter, and they didn't know what it was. She was away at college, but she had one of the dogs with her. And the mom was like 4 continents away, and the mom said, would you connect to the dog and find out what's going on? And I said, but he won't tattle. You know he won't tattle on her. And she says, I don't care. That's fine. I just need to know what's going on. So I connected the dog, who happens to be one of my very favorite dogs to work with, and I connected to the dog, and I said, what's going on? What's the deal? And he told me the story that the daughter's roommate had a boyfriend who was a nutcase. And it was the boyfriend who was causing the disruptions.
Oh.
And so it was kind of interesting that we were able to find out the specifics, because the daughter didn't want to upset her folks. And so she was circumspect. But no, it was the boyfriend who was a jerk.
Oh, interesting. Well, Kate, the hour has gone quickly, and we've come to the end of it. Any parting words before we close?
The parting words are, our animals are here to serve us, and we serve them by taking care of them as best we possibly can, and by taking care of ourselves equally.
Beautiful.
Both
I
sides.
I like that.
Yeah, both
yeah.
sides are important.
Well, Kate, thank you for joining me tonight. I'd love to have you back on again.
That would be great. I look forward to it, David.
Okay, let me give you a call after the show and get you on the schedule, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. So once again, we come to a close. Now let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.